The following is a presentation of Open for Business, InterVarsity Christian Fellowship's conference for business students and business professionals at the Urbana 06 Missions Convention, held in St. Louis, December 2006. For more information, please visit ofb.intervarsity.org. The tone you will hear in the middle of this segment marks a brief gap in recording. We apologize for the few seconds of lost audio.
So it's my honor to introduce to you Bill Pollard, who Alec mentioned was a legend and has spent his life serving his Lord in business. When I asked Bill how he wanted to be introduced, he said, the only thing he said was that he'd been the husband and that was supposed to be serious. That he was the husband of one beautiful wife for 47 years. I thought that was great. But I'm not going to stop there. I'm sorry, Bill. But he is currently the chairman emeritus of the Service Master Company. And he has served as their chairman not once, but twice. He joined the company in 1977. Now, Service Master, many of you have heard of Service Master. It's listed on the New York Stock Exchange. It has been recognized by Fortune Magazine as the number one customer service company of the Fortune 500. It has been recognized by the Financial Times as one of the most respected companies in the world. During the past 25 years, Service Master has achieved market leadership in each of the markets it serves, and it has provided an average annual return of 20% to its shareholders. So it's an amazing company that has been run for many years by an amazing man. Bill's a graduate of Wheaton College in Illinois. He received a JD from Northwestern University School of Law. He's an author, so if you want to pick up, I believe some of his books are back there, and if not, at the bookstore. His most well-known book is The Soul of a Firm, and recently he wrote Serving Two Masters, Reflections on God and Profit. So with that, Bill, if you could come up.
I only wish my wife was here to hear that introduction. We are open for business. Business is a mission and business is a calling. Now, as I say that, and you can tell by my gray hair that I've been around for a while, and as I look out at this audience, I realize that there is more than a generation of time that separates us. But I do remember when I was sitting in a chair somewhat like you're sitting today, and to think of business as a mission or to think of business as a calling was something that was just absolutely not contemplated or talked about. In fact, as I was sitting in a chair much like you're sitting and thought about business and the law, practicing law, the best I could relate it in my mind as it related to God was that I would maybe make some money and support missionaries. Now, I'm sure many of you, as I was when I was your age, are somewhat weary of those questions. What are you going to do when you get out of school? What are you going to do with the rest of your life? As I say this, I'm reminded of a friend of mine who put this message on his voicemail at work and on his answering machine at home. He said, "Hello? This is not an answering device, it's a questioning device. who are you and what do you want? These are only the really relevant questions. Please give your answer at the tone. Well, now, seriously, who are we and what do we want this afternoon? Every one of us is a special creation of God with the freedom to make choices about how we're going to live our life. God has a purpose for our life. We know that. He has a calling for us to do and to be. In so doing, He will not override our will, but instead, in exercising His sovereignty, He'll provide opportunities for us to make a choice for His way. He calls us to a way of life that has both a temporal and an eternal purpose, a calling that is sacred in its significance and often involves the secular in its application. So in answering the question, who are we? We realize that the quest for the purpose of life is not so much in what we want, it's what God wants. He wants, we talk about the will of God. We often quickly think about what we're going to do. But God wants a relationship with us. We're told in Scripture that He wants to be our friend. He wants us to follow in the steps of His Son, Jesus Christ, and to be ministers of reconciliation and ambassadors of His love with a message of salvation and hope. And yes, for some of us, this has meant that the world of business has become our calling. That marketplace where we are called, where money is made, wealth is created, and where people who are lost and needy are spending most of their waking hours. Now, my beginning in this journey of faith started as a young boy by my mother's knee as I made that turning point decision and accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And there followed a life of seeking to understand and to grow in the knowledge of His grace and forgiveness. There were times of doubt, especially during those difficult teenage years for me and the sudden death of my father when I was 18. There followed the challenges of college, law school, and seeking to establish a home and support a family. At times, there were feelings of inadequacy, concerned about whether I would ever measure up. And there was a drive for success that allowed my law profession to become a jealous mistress in my life, to serve as a senior officer and faculty member at Wheaton College. God taught me and needed to teach me at that time some lessons of patience in my life and dependence upon His way. After 5 years at Wheaton, and in the fall of 1977, there was another change in my life of doing and being when I joined the Service Master team. Now, when I joined Service Master, the company was a small public company, but it was on a fast track. And I was soon asked to assume greater responsibilities and then to become ultimately its CEO. Over the next 25 years, the growth and expansion of Service Master would extend to serving over 12 million customers in the U.S. and 45 foreign countries, involving over 250,000 people in our management and employ. It became a big business. As the press clippings indicated, it was a darling of Wall Street. Our corporate objectives were simply stated: to honor God in all we do, to help people develop, to pursue excellence, and to grow profitably. I constantly was faced with the question, especially when I was in Wall Street, what is the relationship between God and profit? The relationship and the link was simply
people. We didn't use that first objective as a basis for exclusion. It was, in fact, a reason for our promotion of diversity, as we recognized that different people with different beliefs were all part of God's mix. It did not mean that everything was done right. We experienced our share of mistakes. We sometimes failed and did things wrong, but because of a stated standard and a reason for that standard, we typically couldn't hide our mistakes. They were regularly flushed out into the open for correction and, in some cases, forgiveness. And the leaders of the firm typically could not protect themselves at the expense of those they were leading. Now, for me as a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, this environment provided an opportunity for me to live and share my faith in a way so that it was not imposed upon my colleagues or fellow workers, but instead could be examined, tested, understood, and in some cases embraced by them. One of the best ways I found to be an example of the Lord I loved was to seek to serve as I led and reflect the principle that Jesus taught his disciples as he washed their feet, that no leader was greater or had a self-interest more important than those being led. In seeking to so serve, the truth of what I said could be measured by what I did. Now, servant leadership didn't come naturally for me. It was not something that I just happened upon me. It was something that I had to continually learn and continually even now be reminded of what it means. The first lesson was when I joined the company. The chairman and president of ServiceMaster at that time were actively involved in recruiting me to join ServiceMaster. They wanted me to initially come and head up the legal and financial affairs of the company. Both of them were great salespeople. And during those recruiting times, they kept inferring and giving maybe the expectation that someday I might lead the company. So when I came to that day when I was to sign up for the benefits and make my commitment to join, I woke up that morning and I said to myself, you know, these guys have talked a lot about that I might be able to lead the company, but they haven't been very specific. And I'm going to have to press them about really how much time is it going to take, what do I have to do, and because I'm changing my career at this point, and I need to know. So that morning, as I was in Ken Hansen's office, who was then chairman of the company, I began pressing Ken. And after listening to me for about 5 minutes, he stood up and looked me in the eye, and he said, Bill, the interview is over. And as I was ushered to the front door that day, I said, well, you know, this must be God's will. I'm not to work for ServiceMaster. A few days later, Ken called me up on the phone and he said, Bill, do you want to know what happened in my office the other day? And I said, sure, Ken. He said, would you have breakfast with me tomorrow morning? So we had breakfast. And Ken basically said, Bill, if you want to come and contribute, you'll have a great career in ServiceMaster. But if you're coming for a title or position, forget it. His point was very simple. He then launched into it, this whole discussion of servant leadership and what it meant and what Jesus meant by it as he was giving that example. But his point was very simple. Never give a job or title to someone who can't live without it. Determine at the front end whether the leader's self-interest or the interest of others will come first. Know whether he or she can define reality by being willing to do what they ask others to do. Well, I took the job, obviously, and Ken, in his own way, tested my commitment. I spent the first 6 weeks as a senior vice president of ServiceMaster, not in the office, not doing my responsibilities as I was assigned to do. I did those in the evening. But during the day, I was out doing the service work that our service workers do. There were lessons for me to learn, the most important of which was my dependence and responsibility to the people I would lead. There are many other lessons for me to learn in the business of business, as God was teaching me, but the most important of which was to come to understand that no matter what I did, there could be only one priority in life, and that was to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. There was no room for a bifurcated life. God on Sunday, work on Monday, and time for my family whenever I could get around to it. My business would become a channel of distribution for my faith, a channel that is reached from the janitor's closet in Saudi Arabia to the Great Hall of the People in Beijing, China, from sweeping the streets in Osaka, Japan, to ringing the bell on the New York Stock Exchange. The marketplace has provided a wonderful opportunity for me to embrace and engage those who did not believe the way I did, but who God loved, and who by my words and actions should see the reality of this love. My family has also become an integral part of that priority of life. It's God's standard and His way that I love and cherish my wife. I'm not the superior. She's not the subordinate. It's not my checkbook, my house, my way. We've become a partnership that is based upon mutual love and trust. A partnership that, as you know now, has lasted over 47 years. Judy and I are committed to each other and continue to be working out, even this morning, the joining together of our separate and distinct personalities. Now, the single most important product of that partnership is the children God has given us. So each child is very different, and our role has changed with their maturity. We have a continuing responsibility for their development and for the acceptance and love of their choice of a life partner and the expanded love now for our 15 grandchildren. God has called each of us to be in the world, but not part of the world. He's called us to be excellent in what we do, whether we call it a job, a profession, or a ministry. And when we excel in what we do, whatever that may be, as a lawyer, as a business person, as a minister, or an educator, we can live and share our faith in a way that cannot be ignored or contained. However, when we proclaim our faith and do not live it, we sow seeds of cynicism and rejection. The leadership of people is a soul craft that involves both the moral and spiritual dimension of the leader and the people being led. People's minds and hearts need to be touched and in some cases transformed. Jesus provides the living example. His message of love and forgiveness to all those who would believe and follow Him is a message of transformation and hope, a hope that extends beyond this life, a hope that provides a purpose and a reality for what we do in life. I'm reminded of those words of C.S. Lewis when he said, "There are no ordinary people. You've never met a mere mortal. Nations, cultures, arts, civilizations, their life is to ours as the life of a gnat. But it is the immortals whom we work with, joke with, marry, snub, and exploit." So you can see my life has not been a simple, logical sequence of events. Some would say I've had three careers, but I can say I've had only one vocation and calling. God has chosen many different people and circumstances to break, mold, and develop me. And the most exciting thing about the process is that it's continuing, even with my gray hair. More than anything else, God is concerned about what I am becoming. And He wants my work, whatever it may be, to contribute to a growing relationship with Him. And His message of love and hope for others. Now, one of the songs we just saying, had a phrase in it which said, "Let us the future see." Now, there certainly is something about the future and about eternity that God has shown us through His Word. But there's a lot about the future we don't know. I can look back and share with you this story of how God has worked in my life. It's a lot easier right now for me to look back and discuss these specifics. But I'm telling you, I wasn't sure when I was going through each one of these steps. And there were a lot of times when I was not sure. I was sure of God, but I was fuzzy about whether I was doing the right thing. That is often reality. We live a life, by its very nature, in living our life, where we have to look forward. And there are unknowns. But the known is God and His love for us and His desire to be our friend.